Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday, in our study of Hebrews chapter 13, we were taught about the importance of submitting ourselves totally to the will of God. Let's continue with that thought today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
I remember in my first church, a man was going to have a throat operation. He was told he'd have a 50-50 chance. And I went to the hospital room to pray with him. And, you know, before I prayed with him, it's a day before the surgery. And, I've never done this before. I've never done it since. But as we were talking with him there, he says, "Pastor, pray that I'll be completely healed. That I'll be able to talk as well, that I won't die." I said to him, "Well, let's imagine. That's not God's will. Maybe it's God's will to take you on home. What then? Would you want me to pray that God's will be done?" He said, "No, don't pray that way." So I said, "You're not really wanting God's will to be done." Now, look, never talk to somebody in a hospital like that. Never. I still to this day believe that I was led to the Lord, because I would have been yelling at you if you'd been doing it. And this guy wasn't happy with me. And I'm saying, you told me that you were willing to clean bathrooms, that you were willing to do anything, any of the most servile work, that the Lord will just spare you. But I says, if the Lord won't spare you, then you're not really willing to have anything dedicated to Him. We went on for about 40 minutes like that, arguing. But finally, he got to the point. He finally said, "Okay, whatever is God's will, I'll do it. If it's to take me home, I'll have to trust my family to Him." At that point, I said, "Okay, now, have you ever felt like God was moving in your heart to do anything? Was He ever calling you something?" He said, "Well, I felt like He's called me to preach, but here I am a middle-aged man, and I kind of ignored that, and He already had a college education." And I said, "Well, you don't have to be a certain age in order to follow the call of God." Well, he had the surgery, and after the surgery, he could not talk. He lost his voice. And the doctor said he may never get his voice back. And he said, "What should I do?" And I said, "Well, whatever the Lord's will is, but if He's called you to preach, you need to go prepare." And I think one of the last things I ever said to that man before he left to go away to seminary, I said, "Give me a telephone call when God gives you your voice back." 7 years later, God gave him his voice back. Now, folks, I'm not one of these weird TV guys that laying his hands on people and doing things like that. That's nothing about it. It was nothing of me. That was totally the Holy Spirit of God. I would have never planned any of it. I would have never said any of that I said. That was totally the Spirit of God. But what I'm trying to point out is that God gave that man the voice when he needed a voice. After he finished his seminary, after he had all this preparation, then God gave him the voice when he's ready to put him into a ministry for which he was calling. Moses did not think he could lead the children of Israel because he could not talk well. Many of his limitations, he thought, would keep him from doing the will of God. But Moses, thinking in the physical realm of speaking, and the fact that he was old, he's 80 years old, and lacking authority. Well, this guy actually had an Egyptian training, education. He was probably equal to a PhD. So when we look at our talents and abilities, instead of looking unto Jesus, you know what? We'll find out we can't do it either. People who depend on their talents and abilities before God instead of His Spirit will fail. In Zechariah 4:6, it says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. I think of old Dr. Phillips. Dr. Phillips wrote a commentary on Hebrews, which I've shared several things from his commentary with you over these months that we've been in this word. But you know his home church, although he was trained in England, the best universities, very learned man, well educated, earned doctorates, and just a very sophisticated, intelligent man. He retired in North Carolina and went to the church that his pastor didn't have but a high school education. And he probably would have told you that that was the best pastor he ever had. Now, that's not glorifying not getting a Bible college education. What I'm saying is, it's realizing it's not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, God's Spirit. He says, my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. He works in you that which is well-pleasing to God. The Hebrew Christians remembered the temple. They remembered the magnificent orchestra, the great choir, the expensive vestments of the priest, and the involvement of the community. Now they are following the rejected Nazarene. They simply sing hymns, and usually without instruments. Their services are in their homes. They are the offscouring. Their leaders are on wanted posters, and they're not part of the community. And they need to look beyond the present age and its temporal nature and see the heavenly age and its riches that would make that which they left seem as a pauper status in comparison. And notice, the glory they're going to is forever and ever. Yes, my friend, we preach the second coming of Jesus Christ. Even in Hebrews, the second coming is driving men as they seek that city whose builder and maker is God. Oh, yes, he wants to work in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, that it might bring glory to Jesus Christ forever and ever, my friend. Is that great? God gives us a go of allowing him to do his great work in us, taking from us the desire of the flesh for the hope of glory. And so in verse 21, make you perfect in every good work. You know that word good has the idea of benevolently good? Working in you is the idea of a continual, repeated action, not a one-time thing. Our goal is a life of good by his working in us that which is pleasing unto him. Amen. We've seen instruction on relationship. We've seen instruction on duty. We've been seen instruction on the prayer request. And then we just looked at the instruction on the goal. Next, we look to the second to the last paragraph of this chapter, and we see the instruction on preaching the word in verses 22 and 23. There it says, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Now, he's just saying about preaching. It's very simple. Allow it. These Hebrew Christians have been through a lot. Now they're doing things that have required the apostle, under the direction of and dictation of the Holy Spirit, to write unto them. Now think of a family problem and having it addressed directly by a preacher, and you may not like what all he has to say. But on the other hand, see the love in it. He addresses them as brethren. I beseech you, comma, brethren, comma. He didn't want that to be left out, and the Lord didn't want that left out, to see the love in it. Suffer the word of exhortation. Suffer is to allow. Don't resist it. Don't fight against it. Exhortation is a Greek word, perkalesis, which has the idea of to call to the side. It's an encouragement to say, let us stand together for that which is right and against that which is wrong. Too often people attack a pastor, a teacher, or others in the church when they're taking a stand because they don't want to pay the price of live godly in Christ Jesus. That price is seen in 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Read the entire letter of the book of Hebrews. See how long it takes you. Yet he says he has written this letter in few words. And so verse 23, he says, know ye that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he come shortly, I will see you. You see, the matter of prayer mentioned in verse 19 now comes to fruition. If Timothy comes, I'll be able to come and see you shortly. Again, we see prayer and hope. Prayer is specific. Make your prayers specific, and not only saying, bless him, Lord, and notice, the church, the ministry of God, is not just based on prayers of a preacher or an officer of the church. It's the people of the church. The people of God praying together with one heart for the same thing. And this takes us to the final paragraph of chapter 13 and the final paragraph of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, the instruction on manners in verses 24 and 25. Now, verse 24 says, salute all them that have the rule over you, and all the saints, they of Italy, salute you. In verse 25, grace be with you all. Amen. Now, kindness should end all of our conversations. Too often we leave people allowing the sun to go down upon our wrath. Salute them that have the rule over you, verse 24 said. The word salute means to enfold the arms, to embrace. More than the idea of a military salute or embrace as a hug, it has the idea of compassion and care for the ones who rule over you. Salute them that have the rule over you and all the saints. Now remember, he said in verse 7, remember, verse 17, obey and submit. And now he says, salute these pastors. But the pastor is not the only one when it comes to the compassion. For he adds, and all the saints.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send it your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.